Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. You know what came to mind as I was thinking over the weekend? You are the miracle. You are the hope. You are creators of dream. You industrial, hero, because you are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you're changing lives, and you're changing the world. I don't think I'm overselling that one bit. All right. Dave Lakin is in the Industrial Talk hot seat. He is the CEO of Acacia Business Solutions. And we're going to be talking about honor, truth, and integrity, bringing that back into your business. Let's get cracking. Yeah. I was just thinking over the weekend. It's like it's if you don't think that you're a hero, if you don't think that your what you do is important, I want you to just recognize that you are the creator of miracles. It's because of your innovative thinking that you create miracles. It's because of your innovative thinking that you're creating hope. And it is because of your innovative thinking that you're creating dreams. And again, I might be the biggest gomer for all things industrial, but I truly believe it. You need to believe it as well because it's that important. And especially now. Holy cow, there's a lot going on, a lot of great stuff happening. Pencil and paper time. Let's get cracking on that. Pencil and paper time. This is in Barcelona. This is a great event. Let's get back to normal. That's what I want to do. This is October 5th through the 7th. It is the IoT Solutions World Congress. Been broadcasting there for the past couple of years, except for last year. And I'm just telling you, IoT Solutions World Congress, the Industrial Internet Consortium, they put on a fabulous, fabulous event. And of course, it's Barcelona. What can you say about that town? A lot, because it's great. All right, put that out there. That's October 5th through the 7th. The next event that I want you to put out there is the Manufacturing and Technology Show, and this is in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, Ohio, and this is November 9th through the 11th. And again, we were very fortunate last year to be able to go up to Cleveland, and it is a wonderful place with wonderful people, and I'm just excited that I'll be broadcasting from this particular event. And just, I don't know, man, getting itchy to get life back into sort of the swing of things and start truly celebrating the wonderful women and men of manufacturing, the women and men of industry, the women and men of innovation. It doesn't really matter. Let's just begin that celebration because you deserve it. All right. Again, we are going to have a great conversation. Good interview. Acacia Business Solutions of the company. Dave Lakin, that's L-A-K-I-N, is the CEO. And I really enjoy the conversation about honoring, bringing honor and truth and integrity back into the workplace. As we start to open doors back up, I think that that is a really wonderful thing. So enjoy this interview. Dave, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you very much for finding time in your busy schedule, calling all the way from Huntsville, Alabama. Going to share with us some great coaching insights, wisdoms for you listeners out there. So I am going to be absolutely jacked about this interview, as you know I will. Dave, background, give us a little 411 on who you are.
Well, good morning, Scott. Appreciate you inviting me to be here. I'm an executive coach, and I work with medium-sized businesses to make them better, stronger, faster, more profitable, more efficient, and to be more competitive and successful in the market.
How did you get into business coaching?
Well, I'm a licensed program manager and a retired Navy chief petty officer. And I finished up at NAVAIR headquarters and went from there into program management, got burned out, and decided that I really loved helping people like I did back in the Navy, and transitioned into coaching. And I've been doing it for about 8 years, and I love every minute of it. So it's my full-time gig.
Acacia is the business name, which is great. And you've been at it for, what, 8+ years, you said?
About 8 years, yes.
I like it. All right. Listeners, we're going to talk a little bit about a number of things. State the issue here. What are we trying to solve with this conversation there, Dave? What are we trying to highlight? What is this topic that we want to drive into? And I see it, but I want you to tell me about it.
So the short Cliff Notes version is returning to the workplace from, you know, everybody's been kind of sheltered in place, and we're slowly getting back out there now, and in out of our home offices into the workplace. And, you know, one of the things that across the country we've been suffering with for the last several years is we're getting pretty hot and loose with the idea of truth and honesty and integrity. And, that may work at home, but it doesn't work so well in the workplace, especially with customers and vendors and things.
So it's been about a year. It's over a year. It just seems like it's dragging on. It seems like 10 years, FYI. But all of a sudden, you're right. Now, this is an interesting change that's taken place in the workplace. Companies have, if they made it through the year, they're surviving and they're trying to rebuild and they're trying to prosper in this, whatever that next normal is. But you've identified this whole principle of honor, truth, and integrity. Why? What's taken place to where that has to be identified and highlighted?
Well, you know, we always want to put our best foot forward, right? And make ourselves as look good to prospective hires and to vendors and partners in the marketplace, and particularly to our customers, right? The people we're working with, even in the contracts world, we want our customers to just love us. And so that takes us into exaggerating our capabilities and our performance, you know, where we've worked, what we've done, you know, in the whole safety world, you know, we're just as safe as we can be, you know, but the reality of it is maybe not so much. And so that's what we're struggling with. And we take it beyond that, you know, we call it exaggerating and white lies and business ethics, things like that. But at the end of the day, it's just not true. And so where do you draw the line on it, right? Where do you say, no, that's just not true. We can't say that to our customers because we have to be able to back it up with performance, right? You know, if this is our safety record, then that means nobody's gotten hurt. You know, nobody smashed a foot. You know, nobody's lost a hand. We got to be able to say that our capabilities of our product, you know, are great up to this point, but that's where they drop off. We're working on it, but that's, you know, that's our limit. And if that means you lose a contract, I would much rather lose a contract because it would have forced me to exceed our capabilities and put our future work in jeopardy, but also, you know, maybe potentially put lives in jeopardy too, right?
So but here's the dirty little secret, right? If I submit a RFP, me to you, not to say you. But let's say a business out there, and I'm looking for price, right? I just am, because I'm still in a position of I'm trying to survive, I'm trying to keep my doors open, I'm trying to rebuild, I'm trying to figure out the way of being able to prosper in this next normal, and on both sides I'm looking for cheap, and on their side they're looking for doing it right. So there's this mutual, and the other thing that is a dirty little secret. If I am truthful, like everybody should be, if I'm supposed to be driven by integrity, sure. I am going to, unfortunately, maybe reveal a little of my dirty laundry and lose, like you said, lose opportunities. And I can't afford to do that. What do we do? How do we change that? What are some actionable items that we can sort of leverage?
Well, that's a real problem, right?
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happens is you read the requirements of the contract, and then you build a proposal that absolutely, at the very minimum, if I'm just barely meeting the requirements of this contract, then it's going to cost this much, right? But you know, and I know, and the contractor knows, and the sponsor knows that that there's going to be 100 change orders. You know, so this is what change orders cost. This is what, you know, you usually have to put up. This is what man hours cost at these different levels. This is what materials cost. This is what research and development costs. And so you have to lay out all these other things, and they're going to compare you against the reality of the people that they're used to working with. But I would much rather come in on truth and integrity, because, you know, you're fighting against somebody, they might have three other guys lined up who have done this work for them before, but those three other guys also have a reputation they carry with them, right? So yeah, they do good work. Yeah, they get it done on time. But, you know, we get eaten alive in change orders and things like that. So, you know, even if you're the new guy, if you come in with a spirit of honest and truth and integrity and say, this is what it's going to cost to minimum meet this RFP. But this is my, you know, my a la carte set of fees that, you know, we're likely to walk into if change orders occur, and they always occur. You know, most contractors know that the real money is in the change orders, right?
Yeah, that is the case. So a couple of analogies here. One, here in Louisiana, we have the Causeway Bridge, and there was a big project that was awarded to a particular contractor. I don't know the details of it, but that particular contract is in dispute. And the reason it's in dispute is that we, the majority of people, gravitate to it's a commoditized market out there to a certain extent. So I'm going to gravitate to the cheapest provider, unfortunately. It's just a commoditized market. Well, that is a problem. They used, from what I understand, poor equipment. They're trying to cut around. They're trying to make their margins. They're doing everything they can. It is a failure on both parts, right? So with that said, I hear what you're saying, Dave, and I'm all just like, yeah, he's right. It's got to be about honor and truth and integrity. How do I communicate that with prospectus prospects that I'm a good person? My company's a good company, and we're gonna might be a little bit more, but man, we're gonna deliver. What do we do?
Yeah, everybody says that though, right? So it's not like you're coming up with a new concept.
No.
You know, Everybody wants to project this image of, look, man, you can trust us. Business is built on truth and trust and you know, know, like, and trust, right?
Yeah.
And so we all go in with that position, but it's the you know, how did you end up at the end of the project, right? Normally, you're going to have a meeting at the end of the project that wraps it all up and shows that you met all the requirements of the project. And you, that's where you get to ask the customer, so how did we do? Right. You get that customer feedback. And, you know, unless you're a brand new company, you have a history of that customer feedback, good and bad. You know, not every project is just going to go swimmingly. Right. So you're going to have that history of feedback. So you can show this new customer that you've never worked for before, look, I've worked for these 10 other companies, and the closeout project, we got these kinds of statements. Loved working with them. You know, they did everything they said they were going to do, which just that right there would be amazing, right? They did everything they said they were going to do. They did it on time, on budget, and the project turned out great, just like we had hoped it would. So that's one thing is being able to show that history of great performance, right? But also in your day-to-day dealings, you know, when people can smell fear, they can smell desperation, they can smell a lie often. You know, we have these physical cues when we're lying, you know, tend to touch your face and look away from somebody and you stammer over the response to a question because, you know, the truth is too painful to tell you. Even if we can't put our finger on what a lie looks like instinctively, intuitively, we know what a lie looks like. We can tell when someone's lying to us. So
we're fudging the truth.
Well, fudging the truth.
Fudging the truth.
White lies. White lies, right? Your boss has been, you know, 2 days a week, he's been stepping out of the office, right? And don't tell his wife that he's been stepping out of the office, right? Right. And you know, the reality is he's taking dance lessons so he can surprise her on her 25th anniversary. But we don't want her to know that he's been stepping out of the office, right?
Right.
So she calls and says, "Where's Henry?" And you say, "Well, he's at the work site. I can't get him right now." Well, it's a lie, right? So those kinds of lies, nobody gets hurt. It's not a big deal. Fine. Could you come up with something else? Yeah, but you got put on the spot. So white lies, whatever. The truth can be painful, right? The customer calls and says, "Hey, how come you guys weren't out on site yesterday?" And the truth is because we overbooked ourselves and we didn't have enough manpower to be out on site there. So we were on the other site, even though said we were going to be. But the answer that you give the customer is, well, our foreman was out sick. We had two other guys had COVID and we just weren't able to get out there. You know, when do the lies stop and we get back to truth and honesty with our customers? Look, we just weren't able to get out there yesterday. We're planning on putting on extra hours or whatever the response is. But, you know, at some point, we got to draw the line and say, how far were we willing to go? When you make mission, vision, core value statements for your business, it's all about who we are, what we do, and what we're willing to do for business and what we're not willing to do for business. And integrity has to be taken into account there. In the military, when I was growing up in the Navy, integrity was one of our core values. And they, early on in my career, the Navy redid their core values and it just went to honor, courage, and commitment. And I thought it was a real failing. They took out integrity. But you have to have core values in your business. You have to know what they are, how you define them. Your people have to know what they are and your customers have to know. They have to see it in your day-to-day work, even if they don't know the words.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, I think there is a level of desperation out there that we want to stay alive. The market is tight. There's a lot of factors impacting the economy. Got it. Understand. I think COVID as a whole has given us the approval to be vulnerable to a certain extent. I'm not perfect. I'm not, a superhero in a sense. I have challenges. And to your point, I think it's more beneficial to be truthful in saying, I don't have the people. I have people that are missing just because of XYZ, whatever it is. I think your customers can understand it today. Maybe pre-virus, no. Post-virus, yes, they can understand it. And put your adult pants on, and we want to succeed. I don't think the statistics with these projects are ideal. I think that every project to a certain extent has suboptimal results, whatever that looks like, but it happens all the time. But I think to your point, if we're driven by that, we can have these conversations. We can eat that humble pie a little bit better. And yeah, it's not fun, but it has to happen. If we're truly wanting to succeed and flourish into the future, I think we have to do that. So that's just my two cents.
I agree with you 100%. But, look at you. You're Scott McKenzie from the Clan McKenzie. You're a tough-looking guy. Bah. I'm retired Navy chief. We don't want to admit our weaknesses and failings and stuff to everybody. You don't want to wear them on your sleeve. But, I agree with you. Absolutely. You just got to man up sometimes and be able to go and say, hey, we didn't get it. We didn't get it done. We were supposed to yesterday. We're going to go back and do a little redo. We're going to get it right. You can count on us for that. Might take a little bit longer, but it'll be right when we hand the project over to you.
It's interesting. In industry, unfortunately, we always have all the answers. Whether we have the answers or not, but we have all the answers, right? We have the solutions. We have the direction. We have the, the golden goose, and we just, it was just baked into the culture. Nobody was vulnerable. Nobody said, oh, that's a job. Yeah, I could do it. I could do that job. And so I like that, but here we are. We're trying to survive. We're trying to rebuild. What are the roadblocks? You're preaching to me. It's good. I want to survive. What are the roadblocks?
Well, let's look at it the other way. What are the roadblocks to continuing the lies, right? We lose trust, confidence, and credibility across the line. People who sit across the table negotiating with us, they don't know if we're negotiating in good faith because we've lied to them before, and they just don't know. So number one, it makes it harder to get them to the table. So you lose customers, you lose employees, you give them all this expectations when they're going to come to your company, they're going to be treated, you know, with dignity and respect or like a ditch digger, who knows, but you know, they're going to be treated in a certain way. And then when they're not treated at least that well, then they get upset and sometimes they leave. They say, you know, 90%+ of the reason people leave a job is because they don't get along with their boss, because often that's because their boss wasn't truthful with them. And of course, you lose revenue over all of it. So the roadblocks for continuing down the road of a lack of honesty and integrity could be greater than the roadblocks to just, you know, to being honest, right? Yeah, if you're honest about it, you may not get the contract, but you may not end up over your head and performing badly in the project either. So, you know, which is more preferable? You know, from the time that you get awarded the contract until the start date of the work, can you make up that lost ground for where you need to be able to do the work? Maybe, but you know, in that time where you're trying to make up all that lost ground, you could be out there trying to get five other contracts that you are capable of doing.
It's I look at it, of course, it's a people challenge, but it's also an education challenge. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about the necessity in business. We do. Let's say we do, but do we mean it? About integrity, truth, honor, all of those.
We all want to think that we're that way, right?
No, no, it's all thinking. Yeah. We talk about it. We talk about it. But really, when the rubber meets the road, you're going to say, yes, we can do it and try to figure out how to do it. And then during the process, during the project, during the whatever, the work, you figure something else out. It's now, and I would imagine now is a time for bold leadership. And I think that what you're talking about is necessary for a vibrant business in the future. I don't have luxury of taking chances. I need to have it done right now. And yeah. if I have trust in what you're talking about, I feel better. I will always recognize that, sure, things happen within projects. You didn't know that you couldn't remove that bolt or whatever it is. You can only see so much.
Of course.
But still, if we take that position, take that level of vulnerability, I want to have that conversation, that truthful, integrity-driven conversation. It's great. Did I leave anything out there? Because I love it. I do. I love what you're trying to do. And I love what it's all about. And I agree with you 100%. All right, listeners, we've got a couple of things out there. We've got adding zeros, the five disciplines of online training, which is pretty cool. And then another one from adding zeros, the five discipline of assessments. So, Dave, where do I go to get that?
Well, the only condition on those is I would love to have a conversation with you about your business and where you are and where you're trying to get to, just to make sure that those things are appropriate for what it is you're trying to accomplish. And then I will shoot you a link. If I think on your show notes, you'll have my email address on my website.
Yeah.
They get in touch with me, and we will set it all up. Looking forward to it.
All right, listeners, we're all about that education, collaboration, and innovation. We've got to be driven to that. We've got to create a business of resiliency. And we've got to do it with a sense of integrity, honor, and truth. We just have got to do it. Dave is preaching to the choir right here. I love what you are doing and what you are talking about from a coaching perspective. Dave, thank you very much for being on the Industrial Talk Podcast.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. Remember, we're going to have all the contact information for Dave. Acacia Business Solutions is the business. He is the CEO. He's got mad skills, his team out there. They want to make sure that you succeed. And again, It's all about education, collaboration. You can't do it on your own. You need people like Dave and innovation. You got to look at business from an innovative perspective. All right. Thank you very much for joining. We're going to wrap it up on the other side.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Again, thank you, Dave, for being on the Industrial Talk Podcast and sharing your insights and wisdom into, you know, the need to bring back that honor, truth, and integrity back into the workplace. Love it. Everything will be out there at industrialtalk.com, all his contact information, and take him up on that free stuff that he offered. All right, to recap, we've got the IoT Solutions World Congress, October 5th through the 7th. Barcelona is the great location. Love the location. As well as we've got the Manufacturing and Technology Show, and that is November 9th through the 11th. Those are must-attend events. Let's get this world back, just sort of back to normal, whatever that might be. Let's make it happen. All right, you are the miracle. You are the dream makers. You are the light of hope. That's what an industrial hero is all about, and that's what you are all about. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Hang out with people who are bold, brave, and daring greatly. I guarantee you, you're going to have a wonderful time changing the world, because that's where it's at. Industry is where it's at. All right, thank you. We're going to have another great interview right around the corner, so stay tuned.